Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Lovely to be here with you. You know, I kind of feel, I was just saying to Diane at one point, I leaned in and when Michelle was praying, I thought, she's stealing my thunder a little bit here, some of the things she's saying, and Michael speaking on Joseph, so I hope that I'm not being overly repetitive with what I'm going to share today. Firstly, a huge, huge thank you for allowing me to be here with you guys. I appreciate that that on a Sunday, you guys could have your pick of preachers and pick of communicators and friends to come and share. So firstly, I want to say thank you. For those of you who don't know who Compassion are, anyone in the room never heard of the organization Compassion? Oh no, we're doing, well, one person, great. Okay, so for the benefit of what's your name, friend? Tony. Short for Anthony? Yes. Well, we're going for Italian food. So Anthony, you and I for lunch. So you and I are brethren already. So for those of you who don't know of Compassion, so we are a Christian child development organization. It sounds rather grand in its title. But essentially, we work with children in slum communities in some of the toughest communities around the globe, from Ecuador to Ethiopia, from Bolivia to Brazil. And we give these kids a chance at an education, a chance at a life away from poverty, and we do it in Jesus' name because we only work through the local church. So churches like yours that have a heart and a passion for young people and children, we give them the chance at those incredible things that would really lift them out of poverty. So what that looks like is this, very simply, individuals like you and like me sponsor children like little Samuel here, he's 9. We pay £28 a month. We write letters back and forth to Samuel or perhaps engage through the Compassion app. Samuel is looked after by his local church pastors and leaders. They make sure that he's fed, clothed, looked after, educated. And what that has looked like is this, that in the life of Found Church, all the individuals like you, like me, we sponsor 3 kids as a family. Those kids have done some amazing things. Oh, you're rushing through my slides here. Go back to the start. Thank you. That one there. That's good. Thank you. So over the life of the partnership you've had with Compassion, there have been 62,451 hours spent by your Compassion children at the local church project. There have been a minimum of 24,242 nutritious meals provided. There have been 362 medical checkups provided from doctors. And of the 88 children, there are 88 active children sponsored, they have been given 127 Bibles. The children that you sponsor are giving their Bibles away. That is what they do. They share their faith. Let's move on to the next slide. So what that has looked like in the last 12 months, there's been £36,342 gifted from the Life of Found Church to these children and an additional 31 gifts for birthdays, for Christmas, just because. Let's move on to the next slide. There have been 163 letters sent by the children to you and 67 letters sent by you to the children, which has dropped. Oh, Michael's like, boo! It's dropped 82%. However, to give you some context, in Ethiopia, there have been some real challenging geopolitical situations. So for those of you who know this, you know that you couldn't write letters for a very long time because we sponsor 2 kids in Ethiopia and we couldn't. So I'll let the grace of God and all that sort of stuff. We'll let you off the hook. Next one. So your children, there are 42 girls, 46 boys. Let's move on to the next slide. And there are your sponsored children. I don't know if you can see them. You might need the old binoculars out to have a really good look. Let's move on to the last slide, if you could. So the COVID response has been this, that the response globally has been that 0% of children have had no contact in the sense that it's been only online. You know, I spoke to one of our team in Uganda and said to him, hey, tell me, what does it look like to socially distance in Uganda? And he laughed and said, social distancing is a luxury for the West. We don't have social distancing. He said, we have the choice of either eating that day, so we go to work to put food on the table, or we stay at home and protect ourselves from COVID and potentially starve. That is the option that we have. So there has been zero instances where there's been 100% online learning, online working. It hasn't happened. Next, 29%. Oh, sorry. Woo! I'm keeping you guys on your toes. 29% have delivered support in the children's homes. So the children have stayed at home, and the staff from the project, the pastors, the social workers have went there. But 64%, really two-thirds of our projects, have had the children meet together in smaller groups. So perhaps not 200, 300, 400, but perhaps 20 or 30. And 4% of our projects have just remained open. There has been no social distancing. There has been no measures put in place. There's 2% missing. I think it's rounding errors. I did ask that question. Did you used to work in banking by any chance? Let's move on. It is. It's in the rounding. Next slide. And we'll come to that later. This morning, I want to share from you, team. I'm really keeping you on your toes. I told you Isaiah 53, it's Isaiah 54. I want to read to you two verses from Isaiah 54, and then I want to pray with you. Isaiah 54, verse 1 says this here. You'll know this. This is famous. Very famous. You'll have heard it preached. You'll have heard it prophesied over you. You'll have prayed it yourself. It says this here. Sing, barren woman. Sing, barren dream. Sing, barren ministry. Sing, barren job. Sing, barren family. Sing, barren woman. You who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy. You who were never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her husband, says the Lord. Verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Lord, I just pray for these next few minutes that we're together. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit is here. Lord, if it is just me speaking, I'm not enough. If it is just these words, it is not enough. Lord, I pray that your Spirit is here. Give me the confidence, yet the humility to share what you've put in my heart. But Lord, we need you today. We need you, Lord, like never before. We sang that this morning. We need you, Lord, like never before. Lord, let that be our prayer every day. We need you now like never before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as I was preparing this message, this is a kind of fresh word that I feel God has put on my life. I was thinking about a message I prepared many years ago. I was invited to speak at this leaders' event. I was quite excited. I was looking forward to being in the room. And I remember the day I had just about finished the message, and I thought, it's not quite there. I need a break. So I put my hoodie on. I went down the stairs, got in the car, went to the gym. And as I was going, I remember seeing in the car park of the apartments we lived in, the neighbors next door, they were getting the carpet redone. So I see the carpet fitter in and out. And my mind went to, that old stinky carpet better not end up in our shared bin area. If you've ever lived in an apartment with a shared bin area, hand in there, you feel my pain, you understand it. It's like a real tension. Shared parking, things like that too. It's like that awkward social thing. We're so British that we never say anything, but we tut and we roll our eyes. Anyway, I went to the gym, I came back, and the carpet was dumped in our bin. And I was like, do you know, I've had enough of this. I was feeling really strong after the gym, so I put one roll of it up here, the other roll of it over here, and I marched it over to the other shared bin area. So I'd done it, dumped it, felt like I was about 12 foot tall, showed them, I was like, that's that done. And then I walked back to our house, and I heard this voice saying, hey you! I'm looking around. Hey, you heard it again. I looked up and it was this slightly elderly gentleman shouting at me, saying, hey, don't you dare put them in our bin. And I say, buddy, I'm really sorry. They're yours. They're not ours. I can't take them because, you know, it's going to rain and it's going to stink. I'm not taking responsibility for it. And this is like red rag to a bull. If anyone knows me, don't tell me something can't be done. I'm warning you. And I looked up and I was like, okay. So I went back up the stairs to my little office, AKA the spare bedroom. And I went in and I sat down and I'm reading my Bible and I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I've opened my Bible back up and I'm praying and I just felt the Holy Spirit almost like chap me. Who do you think you are? I'm like, okay. So, put my hoodie back on, put the hood up, hid, slipped down, put the seats down in my car, reversed into their bin shed, put it in, took it to the dump. And I did see that the chap up at the window just completely perplexed, looking down, like, what is going on with this guy? I sometimes think there are things in our lives when we look back that we wish we had done differently. There are occasions that we wish that we had responded differently. You know, we look back in our youth. I'm less of a youth now than I was, but I look back and I think, oh gosh, I can't believe I was starting an argument over that. It doesn't even matter anymore. But there are things that we wish we had said, things that we wish that we had not said, things that we wish we had done, things we wish we could undo. And I think that we're living in a day and age where there's a generation who do not say sorry, who will not admit a mistake. One of the things that's really bothering me just now, I'm doing this whole thing on ethics and leadership, part of some uni studies that I'm doing. And one of the things that's really ticking me off is one of the things that Boris Johnson's trying to do, and this is not an anti-Boris Johnson political statement, but he's trying to change the ministerial code that when ministers break the code, they don't need to resign. So in my mind, I'm like, who holds them accountable for anything? They can do what they like. You know, one of the things that happens in Scotland, maybe less so in the rest of the UK, but people bump into you in the supermarket, oh, I'm sorry. But what they mean is, excuse me. They say what they mean, but they don't mean what they say, or vice versa. We are a generation who wishes they could take things back, and there is fear of the outcome. We wish we could take back these last 2 years, don't we? These have been horrible. The amount of missed birthdays, weddings, occasions, holidays, the things that we missed, we wish we could take them back. Or here's a close at home example. This afternoon, you're going to go home, you're going to have your Sunday roast, you're going to have three slices of cheesecake, and you wish you could take back those three slices of cheesecake. We do things sometimes that we wish we could take back. But let me tell you, regret is a killer of your future dreams. Regret is a killer for what God has for your life. And what happens is this, our brain makes up stories to tell ourselves what happens. But you get to decide what those stories are. Well, what do you mean, Don? Well, Paul says, take every thought captive. And the Bible also says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And I'm not saying that we name it and claim it, and I'm not saying that we project these things out, but can I tell you, without vision, the people perish. The Message translation says that without vision, people stumble and fall all over themselves. And I think that God is asking for a new generation, a bold generation, who are willing to speak up and stand out and say that I will not waver from this dream that God has put in my heart. I am not scared of this cancel culture that is going to cancel me out for being a Christian, for standing firm in my faith, for when my name is proclaimed, I will draw all men unto me. But you're like, Don, you don't understand. I'm going to get found out. Let me tell you this. In a study that Gallup done, these guys are like incredible researchers. 98-point-something% of CEOs of the biggest companies in the world. What is your biggest fear? I'm going to get found out that I'm not good enough for this job. Here's the truth. None of us are or have been good enough. The Bible says that it is all but filthy rags. That we have been redeemed. We have been set free. We have been chosen in Christ. And there are things in our lives that we want to take back, but as a generation, we try and filter it out. I'm going to take 400 pictures to put that one picture online so that my life looks perfect and it looks great. We remove things because actually, oh, I'm not getting enough comments on it and people aren't liking that thing enough that I post on Instagram or TikTok or LinkedIn. We live in a culture, a cancel culture that is full of excuses. But I wonder if God is saying, actually, I want you to start to believe in the things that I've stirred up within you. Those dreams that I have. We could be a generation that stop believing the lies about ourselves. Perhaps there is a post-COVID version of you that is different from the version of you that existed in February 2020. You're like, oh, Don, back then I was so much more generous. I was so much more full of life. I was so much more full of passion. You know, I was at church every week. I used to give. I used to tithe. I used to serve. I used to be generous. I used to be nice. But these last few years, you get to decide what those stories are that you tell yourself. What do those stories look like? Well, let me ask you this. What did God tell you? What does God say? What did he say in that little small space in 1992? What did he say at that conference, that prophetic dream that you had? What did he say about that word of knowledge that someone's spoken over you? God is not schizophrenic. He has not changed his mind. And what Pastor Michael said earlier, he said, what the enemy has meant for evil, what you have meant for wrong, what you have meant for harm, God in his greatness and his sovereignty and his power, God will use for good, because all things work together for our good. The world might say this, your circumstances might dictate that you're not good enough, that you're not strong enough, that you're not able enough, but God has not forgotten. He has not given up on you. and you have not been cancelled. Your future is not written off. Sing, O barren woman. Sing, O barren man. Sing, O barren family. Sing, O barren leader. And why does it use the word sing? Because God's word says that we enter his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. You know, I remember chatting with my wife just this week, and a worship song came on just over the speaker in the house, and I just found myself overwhelmed with emotion as I was singing. And I said to her, that verse came back to mind. I said, there is something in when we have thanksgiving in our hearts, it's a connection with the Holy Spirit. God comes in. Oh, why do you always start your worship services off at church? You worship with songs because we enter his presence with thanksgiving in our heart. I love what it says in Acts 4 verse 13. When they saw, this is when Peter and John were stood before the Sanhedrin, the educated scholars, the people who knew everything at the time. It says this here, Acts 4 verse 13, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary, unqualified men, the word would have been idiots essentially. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Church, I wonder if for you in your worlds that you occupy, in your friend circles, in your workplace, with your family, with your friends, Jesus says that we are to be salt and that we are to be light. What does that look like for you? Have you given up on you? Have you given up on the dream that God gave you? Have you given up on that desire, on that ability to be that generous person? You have not been cancelled. You may be ordinary, you may feel unqualified, but you serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Valley Shaper, the Mountain Maker. He chose you before time even began. He knew you in your mother's womb. And yet so many of us write off God because you're like, Don, it's so hard. I mean, it's so challenging. God gave me this dream, but it's so difficult. Let me tell you this. I was just sharing with Michael. So before the service, Few months ago, maybe back before Christmas, we felt God give us a specific timeline on when we were to move house. Now, the market has fluctuated up and down and backwards and forwards and sideways, and there's going to be a recession, or there's not, and there's going to be this and there's going to be that. But we held firm and we said, God, we're believing for this. The day that the estate agent was coming out to take the pictures of our home, the day that the house was getting valued, let me tell you what happened leading up to it. The day before, Grace, our daughter, fell sick. She wasn't feeling too great. And she was having pain in her neck. And we thought, actually, that's a sign of meningitis. We've got to take her to hospital. Thankfully, she was fine. We're like, okay, we're all in the clear. We're like, God, we're standing firm on this. The day that it happened, Margaret, my wife, drove out the drive. And there's a big, massive patch of oil from her car on. I'm like, oh, gosh, there's going to be a big oil stain on the picture. I'm like, okay, it's a one-off. So I'm out trying to clean it. And I'm scrubbing it. For those of you who have ever had oil stains, it's not easy. I'm then tidying the house. I'm hoovering with my feather duster. It's hilarious. You can have a laugh about that later. But I'm trying to get the house ready, and I go into Grace, our daughter's room, and there's a huge crack down the double glazing. I'm like, dear Jesus, where did that come from? If the valuer sees that, it's going to go on the home report. If you've ever sold a home, these things can put people off. I'm like, God, what on earth is going on? The valuer didn't see it. Thank God I distracted him. I made him a coffee, and he didn't even notice it. We've since had it fixed. But as the rest of that week went on, my mum went into hospital. She was in hospital for 12 days with like a horrible infection in her elbow. She's still ill. All of these things happening. The fridge broke. The oven broke. All within this little spell of time, the pressure I was under at uni was unbelievable. All these random deadlines. Hey, we're bringing that deadline forward 2 weeks. We hope that's okay with you, students. We're like, no. But when you have a dream sometimes there's a price that goes with it. We have a dream to move our family to a better location. We have a dream for this qualification to perhaps allow God to do something unique in our lives. But there is actually a cost that comes with those dreams. And perhaps you've given up on those dreams because of the cost that is involved. Let me read this from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his future glory. Are you ready for this? Verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, when you believed. You were marked in him. Church, I want you to know today that you are marked in Christ. That you are not just a random person who walked into a church service on a random day, but you are marked in him.
It goes on to say, with a seal, marked in him with a seal and the promise of the Holy Spirit. When the king, when the ruler, when the emperor back in the day, so to speak, had a royal decree, they would drop wet wax onto a scroll and they would stamp it with their seal. You have been royally sealed. You have been marked. You have been chosen. You have been purposed. You have been destined. You have been called. You have been saved. But you're not just saved, but you're then called into great works. And many of us, we give up. God, it's too hard, it's too difficult, I'm not qualified. But I think what happens is this, when I read about Joseph, Joseph was stretched by God. And when we are marked, God wants to take us as marked people to people that are then stretched. And it produces, please bear with the language here, but it leaves stretch marks. When you have been marked, when you have been purposed, when you look at Pastors Michael and Diane and you look at their lives, you can see God's mark all over it. You're like, I want what Pastor Michael has. He's been faithful to this church for 30 years. I look at that other person's marriage. I look at their kids. I see what's happened. They haven't just been marked, but they have been stretched. Church, are you ready to pay the price for what God has for you? And I hear everything Michelle said this morning about the planner busting at the seams, all those different things. And many of us, we say, God, I have too much on my plate. Because you've put it on ourselves, but we need to invite the Holy Spirit in. Say, God, I need you to help me. I believe you've called and chosen and purposed me to do these things. God, this plate is busting at the seams. Church, it's time to ask for a bigger plate. It's time to ask God to increase your capacity, increase your ability to be generous, increase your ability to be kind, increase your ability to pray, to prophesy, to worship. You may be feeling that you've been cancelled. Oh, God's given up on me. Like before COVID, I was just this person. No, God has not cancelled you. He has not forgotten your phone number. He's got your email. He's got your postcode. He knows where you live. Instagram doesn't have the answer. Facebook doesn't have the answer. Netflix doesn't have the answer. A conference in itself perhaps doesn't have the answer. But God does. You got to invite God into that stretch and wait till you see what he does. Can I tell you, this has been the most stretching 6 or 8 months of our lives. But almost I can just smell and taste the breakthrough. Just a few things last week, God's like, I'm in it. I'm with you, son. Don't worry, I've got you. Keep going. Keep peddling. Keep inviting me in every day. Keep asking me. My prayer since the beginning of this year has been this. Holy Spirit, what are you inviting me into today? And day by day, day by day. For in his heart, a man plots his course, but the Lord ordains his steps. For he is a lamp unto our feet, not a lamp unto the entire path. He's asking us to trust him step by step, step by step. Isaiah says a little here, a little there, a rule for this, a rule for that. Just a little. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I don't know what that stretch looks like for you today, church. Obviously, I'm here representing Compassion. I would wonder if that stretch could be to sponsor little Samuel. Or £28 a month at the end of the service. I'll get my friend Isaac here. He's joined me. Come and speak to us at the end. You can sign up super quick. You can even text. We'll throw the details up at the end. You can text the word sponsor space found to 88802 if you're technologically inclined. Or we'll just send it to your phone. But that's only one side of things. What else is God asking you to do? What would it look like if we trusted God again with those dreams? We trusted and said, sing, O barren woman. Sing. Stretch the place of your tent peg. Enlarge your stakes. What does it look like for you, church, to enlarge your stakes today? What does that look like? Please do not leave this room. Do not leave this service without having said, God, today that's the thing I'm going to do. I'm going to send that WhatsApp. I'm going to text that person. I'm going to forgive that. Can I tell you today, as I was praying over this message, there's something that happened a few months ago. And can I tell you, I've been wrestling with this idea of forgiveness. I'm like, God, I forgive people relatively easily, I believe, but I'm struggling with this. I don't want to let this one go. And I felt God say to me today in the car, you need to get ready to let go of that. And as soon as you let go of it, your hands are going to be so much freer to catch what I've got for you. And I was like, oh gosh, I phoned my wife up and said, Margaret, God is just speaking to me about this. I've got to let this go. And she laughed and she said, I know that that's God speaking. And she laughed. She says, because part of me would help you hold on to it. She laughed. She said, but if God's speaking, you've got to move on. What have you got to move on from? Who have you got to forgive? Is it yourself? Is it someone else? What have you got to shake off your feet? What dust has gathered? You know, when this verse was written in Isaiah, it's strange. The people of the time, they lived under heavy restrictions. They were restricted in how they gathered. They were restricted in how they spoke. They were restricted in which people groups could mix with which people groups. They were restricted in how they could worship and what their worship looked like. We don't know what that's like, do we? We don't know what it's like to be restricted, to be told we can't do this, we can't do that. I wonder if God is saying to you today, sing, O barren person. Sing, O barren woman, O barren man. Stretch the place of your tent peg, enlarge yourself. For 2 minutes, I want you guys to watch your screen, and I'm going to pray before we end. You have not been cancelled. God has not given up on you, church. Why don't you watch the screens?
In the Philippines, it's so smelly, very dark water. You can see trash, rats, all of the crimes.
The friends that I played with in the neighborhood got captured and was being trained to become child soldiers.
In a given week, we'll go at least for 3 days without food.
We would beg our parents just to buy one apple, but even the rotten ones we could not afford to buy. I just want to taste it. I just want to eat that fruit.
In a period of 18 months, I lost my small brother Patrick, my mom, and I lost my stepdad because of the terrifying disease of HIV/AIDS.
When my mother died, I was lost. I was looking for hope, for God to just show me that everything was going to be okay. Not knowing what tomorrow will look like, not knowing whether I would have a home, whether we would live to see the next day.
I don't know why Aaron Mitchell decided to sponsor me, but when he did, my whole life changed.
A group of people from Compassion showed up at my church.
They said, you're going to go to school, and then somebody's going to write to you.
I don't have to worry about whether my parents would have enough money to keep me going to school.
Even if I get sick, someone was there to take care of me.
I felt safe. I felt wanted.
My sponsor is Edwin Bunny.
Maria and Hanshru.
Aaron Mitchell.
5 women from a Lutheran church that were sponsoring me.
I am now a physical therapist and I'm working in a hospital.
Clinical social worker.
I was the first child in my family to go to high school, to go to college.
I have a bachelor and a master in biomedical engineering, a second master in engineering management, and I called me into ministry, so I had to go and get a third master.
I have a ministry called Youth Arise Africa that works with boys who don't have father figures.
We opened a small school. It's now providing the same opportunity that Compassion provided to me so that they too can break out of the cycle of poverty. Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me.
You do for me.
You did for me.
You did it for me. Sponsor a child today to break the cycle of poverty in a child's life, like my sponsor did for me.
What can you do today? Someone made a decision 20 plus years ago to sponsor one of these kids, and in doing so, that's the outcome. But what can you do today? Sponsor a child, fantastic. I would love that. But what else? Because that's not...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.